Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, Assistant Editor for Applied Clinical Trials, and I'm here today with our Editor-in-Chief, Lisa Henderson. For today's episode, we are speaking with Jaidev Takkar, Chief Operating Officer of Bioformis, about decentralized trials, clinical research as a care option, digital therapeutics, as well as what Bioformis is currently working on in these areas.
Prior to joining Bioformis in January 2020, Jaidev spent over 14 years at Amgen, where he was a leader in clinical trial and digital therapy research efforts.
So with that, thank you, Jaidev, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Lisa and Andrew, for having me on the podcast.
Before we get into some of the topics that I hit on earlier in our intro, I'd like to start off with your own career. So could you take us through your career in tech and how you ultimately found your way into the clinical trials industry?
Sure. You're taking me back 20 years. My tech career started, I would say, in late 90s, launching a tech company that was focused on transforming the local stores into an online presence. This was back in India. After a couple of years trying to make that work, and ultimately I moved into consulting, spent about a few years in tech-focused roles for telecom and finance until I got introduced to Amgen through someone that had worked for me earlier. As I arrived at Amgen, there was a very strong recognition that clinical trial was one of the strategically critical capability from Amgen's lens. And there was a huge opportunity to apply technology to transform the clinical trial challenges. So that got me into this early move to EDC, move to cloud, and then eventually patient centricity. Amgen took part in Translurate and taking part with the others in the industry. I remain fairly excited that this is one area that can benefit so much, not only to the stakeholders like pharma and others, but patients are benefiting so much when we can transform clinical trials.
So did you like working in pharma? I mean, what was the attraction? Because you did end up staying at Amgen for 14 years. So what did you actually like about that?
To start with, Lisa, Amgen's mission was always very focused on patient and an inpatient first. And I continue to run, I must say, it wasn't just me. Talking to colleagues, I can see how number of our friends and family, as you talk about them and as you're conscious about now, this whole industry that's focused on bringing new innovative drugs, what it takes to do clinical research. And you find a friend or a family member is somewhere taking part in clinical research, and it starts to move you. Often a story that comes to my mind that I was at a conference and one of the patients was describing that how they were going through a terminal illness and their only hope turned out to be a novel drug that they were referred to participate in. And a month before the trial is starting, they got a letter that unfortunately the trial is delayed by 3 months. And that patient was literally in the tears that, well, I only have 2 months. So how the movement, the timeline, and the trials are so critical part of care. And for some patients, those are sometimes the only hope. Just extraordinarily motivating to see how we can contribute and help in this industry.
We hear stories about that also, you know, the patients and their sharing, as well as the people in this industry are extremely dedicated. So thanks for sharing that.
My pleasure. And I must say, the part of the motivation was also coming from, like you said, you run into colleagues and in how motivated they are with the focus on advancing for the patient, the clinical research technologies. As a technologist, that allowed me to see how the technology's impact can be seen more firsthand. Often when you're working on some of the other industries, while you are contributing to the society, impact isn't as direct and as visible as you can see in a clinical research.
That makes a lot of sense.
So now back to the present and Bioformis. Could you take us through how Bioformis is currently taking new approaches to decentralized trials?
At Bioformis, we fundamentally believe in the predictive capabilities of today's tools and wearables and sensors is a low-hanging fruit to leverage as we think about transforming trials into decentralized DCTs, as the term has come to become known. And in our philosophy is that let's not replicate everything that we do in traditional trial with the help of technology in a DCT model, but rather transform, really take the opportunity to make them patient-centered. So we look at it as that from a technology lens, the two big areas, two core components that are here and now, they're really mature, is one is this data collection, that remote data collection piece, And then second is remote patient monitoring and doing remote visits, remote patient engagement. And in these two components can make a significant difference in truly taking advantage as the trial shifts towards decentralized and at home, how you can provide the right benefit. When it comes to remote data collection, we usually focus on clinical grade variables that are patient friendly, easy to use. And most importantly, the ones that don't start putting artificial restrictions on patients, such as, well, you can't take shower, or you can't really take the device off for continuously 6 days, no matter how much rash you are developing. So things like that, we find that the industry has finally come to the point where if you really look for, you will find a good sensor and a variable that don't put this kind of restriction while giving you the rich data that is necessary. And then the second piece, which we find now more and more becoming crucial, that when you collect this data remotely, and again, if you're conscious, you would not replicate what today's trials are doing, which is you get the data once in a 15 days, once a month. Instead, now you have access to this continuous data stream. But then that data stream can be overwhelming if you don't have right tools applied on it. And this is where we find the maturity of the AI and machine learning tools, it has really come a long way. FDA's approach is to help you convert some of these tools into SAMDs through the regulatory pathway is quite mature as well. So combining this remote data collection into this AI and machine learning tool, now you can generate insights that can be quite powerful to the investigator, to the study team, in terms of which patient needs that extra attention, and in how you can make it dynamic, data-driven remote patient visits. Granted, protocol will always need certain scheduled visit, but the opportunity to now keep more and more dynamic nature where visits start happening as the data indicates, as your AI and machine learning algorithms indicate, makes a potentially huge opportunity to make trials that are patient-friendly, easy for patient to participate, and not unnecessarily burdensome because they are data-driven.
So, Jadev, I think you touched on this a bit when you alluded to the remote visits for patients, but how are the approaches that you just mentioned before, how are they enhancing clinical research as a care option for patients?
I think to a large extent, you can see that patients, particularly in the light of COVID, more and more visible that for their care, they are unable to really go as frequently to the site as they might have. And many are also having financial struggles, not having enough coverage where care may not be available to them. Clinical research certainly remains a strong option, particularly when applied with right kind of technology, giving patient an option to participate remotely. You've got AI and machine learning tool that will pick up early on if a patient that is going through a journey of their remote care, if they are good participants in research. So I find that these two places are coming together where care is shifting to patients' home, and so is the, to a large extent, research shifting along with it. By having these remote patient monitoring tools available, you've taken care of a number of social determinants that are now making it possible for someone that might not have the coverage, might not have means to get to the physical site, can be remotely participating in research that results in a better care that they would have otherwise not been able to get.
So, Jadev, I was wondering if you could just give us a little bit more background on digital therapeutics, SAMDs, and what is industry's interest in this area?
I think that's a great question, Lisa. Certainly, there's a significant, I would say, additional interest, uptick in the interest on digital therapies over the last 2-3 years, and it only got fueled up through this COVID pandemic, highlighting need to shift the care to patients' home. And I keep coming back to that as the care is shifting to patients' home, there are a number of other options that are coming up that were earlier not there. One of the areas that pharma industry has long worked on, and nothing new, is this notion of personalizing medicine. To what extent can we make, whether it is, and I'll give few as an example, drug doses tied to an individual's profile, N of one becoming a key driver in some of these treatment decisions. To what extent timing of the intervention of a particular therapeutic approach can be driven down to an individual's data points? If you roll back 5 years ago, that simply wasn't practical and feasible. It wasn't very feasible to get patients to wear multiple sensors. And then most of those sensors were, I would say, not patient-friendly enough, putting too many restrictions. And those approaches to personalized medicine wasn't as practical. Fast forward last 5 years, and then particularly in the last 18 months, the technology has evolved quite a bit. The number of innovations, thanks to both regulators like FDA, as well as the innovative companies on the sensor market, there are patient-friendly sensors now available that provide this steady stream of data. And once you have access to this continuous stream of data, it opens up the door to apply that data and then fine-tune therapeutic approach to that patient. And then that in part makes them now a digital therapy, either as a monotherapy or as a combination therapy, along with the pharmacotherapy, quite achievable and in significantly meaningful. So I find that the technology has come at the right time. Patient preferences to be treated at home and their demand to make things more specific to an individual patient has also come together. So all these factors, I think, have created a perfect storm to make pharma companies now start to go down the path of what's my strategy towards a digital intervention and how do I combine that to optimize both the safety and the clinical results that you can attain through pharma therapies.
Does that impact the complexity of a clinical trial, or is it just a different type of clinical trial, or it's just a different part of the protocol?
So what we have seen is that in many cases, this is almost, particularly if you're going towards a decentralized clinical trial approach, you've already put the same technology in practice. You've already put some kind of sensor and variable to collect the data. You are very likely thinking about how exactly this data would be converted into an insight, and that requires some type of sophisticated tools like AI and machine learning tool. So these core components are there in a well-designed decentralized trial anyway. And I find that while it adds one layer of complexity for pharma companies, that how do you manage the life cycle of this technology? Particularly if you think about if this technology now becomes part of your regulatory strategy and you're going to put them in the label and commercially launch as a companion therapy, what would be the life cycle of the digital component, which is very different from a traditional drug's life cycle? And in this is where a good chunk of what BioPharmis ended up building, it came down to the platform that we built for our own digital therapy. If we can make it available to our partners like pharma company, and in, we are not the only one, there are others that are looking to achieve similar capabilities that enable the pharma company to leverage platforms like this, which I would say to a large extent simplifies the oral trial execution, that you're not worried about the site monitoring in a traditional way, that your data is coming remotely, and that verification of the data is going through an established tool beforehand. So let me summarize this way. With the availability of some of the platforms that are out there, which simplify the use of AI and machine learning and the sensor data, I think overall, it is a mixed balance of you've added a complexity in one side, but you significantly removed the complexity on the other side.
That's a really good point, that the companion digital component will probably evolve while the actual therapy might not. I mean, it will, you know, with the innovations and changes and such. So that's a really interesting point. The life cycle, right? That's what you called it.
Precisely. We have had, fortunately, the experience of getting some of our algorithms approved as a class 2 software as a medical device, SAMD, a few years ago. So we've gone through this journey that when you implement some of these algorithms in the real world, you wrap it into an API, you wrap it into, let's say, a component of a mobile app. You know, the iOS and Android platforms change much more rapidly. And then you need to keep up with some of those technology enhancement and then consider how might it affect your regulatory approval and what do you need to do to keep that current? Whereas your underneath drug formulation probably is not going to change for the life of that drug's patent. So that's the part that we have found where pharma companies have recognized this and rightly so have looked for partners that can enable the lifecycle management of the digital companion while they continue to build innovative drugs.
So that leads us to the work you're doing at BioPharmis with the digital therapeutics. What kind of work are you doing?
So Lisa, we've worked on two fronts. So one, we have some of our own investment in therapies that we are bringing to market as digital therapies. One that recently had received a breakthrough designation from FDA is focused on heart failure, BioVitals HF. On the other end, we work substantially with a number of leading pharma companies. A couple that I can share that we've been able to disclose. One has been the work that we've been doing with Chugai Pharma. It's a subsidiary of Roche. We've been working with them on their clinical development program for endometriosis. And then that clinical drug has been leveraging all the components that I referenced in terms of sensors and wearable combined with algorithms that are objectively assessing pain score. And then that information is now relevant in both assessing the efficacy of the drug as well as potentially titrating the drug dose. So that's one area of work, particularly around pain in an endometriosis with the Chugai. The other piece of work we've been doing has been focused on oncology, where the work has really focused on how do we enable some of the therapies, and I'll give an example as a CAR T or BiTE therapies that are quite, I would say, emerging platform with significant adoption, and a number of pharma companies have built innovative drugs on top of these platforms. While these drugs are quite successful in treating the underlying cancer, they have a significant adverse event profile and an potential risk for a small percentage of the patient. And it's critical that these patients be very actively monitored. Now, currently, it's a huge burden that the patients have to be given this infusion in clinic, and in many cases for days, have to be kept in clinic to be monitored. So our work there has been to partnering with some of these pharma companies and the infusion center to enable remote monitoring of this patient. So the drug and the infusion can happen in an outpatient setting, and then patients can go home. The monitoring tools will continuously monitor, and a predictive algorithm can pick up any early onset of CRS, the cytokine release syndrome, or neurotoxicity. And then that triggers that small subset of the patient that need additional attention. Immediate intervention can be provided while patient can be recovering and enjoying the comfort of their home. So this is another example of work that is mostly focused around better safety management of the patients that are on innovative therapies.
It's fascinating. You know, it's really important. So where do you think industry will be on the development of digital therapeutics in 5 years? What are the trends looking like?
From what I can see, it seems clearly this is a trend that's only going to rise. We do need more examples that industry can see firsthand. And then there are, I would say, our industries, and like many industries, is made up of early innovators that are willing to be in the forefront, take some risk, and put some programs that can demonstrate to the rest of the industry the value of some of these novel approaches, combining digital intervention with pharma intervention. Then there is a very large group that is very agile and a fast follower mindset. And I feel like the early innovators are already underway. If we give ourselves 5 years, that next large chunk of fast followers would have jumped on and selectively, but definitively have moved forward with digital intervention getting combined with pharma therapies and be put on regulatory label and then launched as a combined therapy. So I would foresee at least a few tangible examples of combined therapies launch within the next 5 years, which eventually will open up the path that this becomes almost the norm. And even now, we have, I would say, about 3 of the top 10 pharma companies working with us, where they've taken the path of an enterprise strategy. Every molecule that is coming out of early preclinical into early stage of clinical phase 0, phase 1, they'll put a set of monitoring devices, collect the data, look at what biomarkers are visible, and ask themselves the question, is there a digital intervention in this disease pathway, in this molecule's overall pharmacodynamics and pathway? And based on those, make the decision that, are we going to advance as we go into phase 2, digital component, or maybe not for this particular therapy, but collecting the data early on now allows them to make a much more informed decision and not be surprised at tail end in the phase 3 for any signal that they might have been able to catch much earlier and potentially apply a digital intervention. So I foresee those 2 or 3 examples of the pharma company potentially would have become norm in the 5 years from now, where most companies are starting with some digital component early on and then selectively deciding which ones end up launched with a digital companion.
The world keeps changing. It keeps advancing and innovating. And that's a good thing. It happens quickly, doesn't it?
Indeed, Lisa. Look, I have personal stories here. that our work on heart failure is really focused on currently approved drugs. A good many of them are generics, and some are still innovative. And it allows a heart failure patient that's on, usually it's common for them to be on anywhere from 3 to 5 therapy, be appropriately up titrated. Now, my own father is a heart failure patient for the last decade, and I know how hard for it is me to convince him that he should take all of those therapies at the right dose and be on top of it. And I see platforms like what we've been able to test in that early phase of clinical trial, how far it goes in providing that additional engagement between the physician and the patient, that extra layer of monitoring, and that small, and in some ways it looks small, but that light engagement once a week, once a month, sometimes just through the digital app, gets the patient so much motivated that someone is caring for me, and I'm going to make sure that their recommended therapy, I'll stay on top of it. And the therapy gets adjusted as frequently as it needs to without me having to visit every couple of weeks doctor's office. So the amount of motivation we see patients benefiting from, and again, my own father, I remain very optimistic here that these technologies will get appropriately fine-tuned to not end up becoming a burden, but an additional option for patient to be cared for that can benefit from these kind of continuous monitoring and digital interventions.
Well, your dad's an inspiration. Well, thank you, Jada. Thank you so much for sharing your company's advances and your story and your history. I learned a lot, which I greatly appreciate. So thank you.
My pleasure, Lisa. Great questions. And I'm looking forward to stay tuned with your podcast for anything else that you end up continuing to publish.
Thank you, Jada. Appreciate it.